What's up, everybody, and welcome back to the Stretch 4 podcast. I'm your host, Peter Tran, and on the line I got my pick and pop partner, Josh Cohen. How you doing?
I'm excited, pumped, 2 weeks away from training camps and, you know, preseason games, I guess you can call it.
From training camp, of all things to be excited for.
Hey, if they actually show the scrimmage games on TV, I'm in. I'm going to definitely watch that.
Is it confirmed yet?
No, not yet, unfortunately, but if they want to get more money out of it, which is what this is all about, why would they not show it?
Yo, imagine watching a scrimmage game of, like, Washington and Phoenix right now.
I would watch it.
Really? You'd watch Washington?
I'd watch Washington versus Brooklyn right now.
Who's, okay, pop quiz. Who's going to be starting for the Washington Wizards at point guard?
Ish Smith.
Uh-huh.
Troy Brown.
Okay.
Thomas Bryant.
Are you sure he's going to start?
Yeah, right, Yamahimi.
There you go.
Who else do they got on that roster?
Who's the 3 and 4?
I have no idea.
Same.
I'm trying to think. I know Troy Brown usually plays the 3, so who would be the 2? Who's behind Beal? Oh my god.
Nobody. So Beal usually plays like 35, 40 minutes a game.
They should bring Isaiah Thomas back. And they should sign Jamal Crawford.
Isn't Isaiah Thomas on that team?
No, he got traded to the Clippers, and the Clippers cut him.
Oh, yeah. That was at the deadline?
Yep.
Well, I guess Isaiah Thomas isn't coming to Orlando.
Isaiah Thomas should sign with Brooklyn.
Yeah, why not? I mean, just throw him in there.
I mean, they need a replacement now for Dinwiddie, right? So, why not him?
Oh, man.
That's... People are going to learn the name Chris Chioza during this next month or so.
And they're going to forget about it the month after.
I feel like he might have a Jeremy Lin moment where he puts up crazy stats, because who else is going to put up stats on that team? I guess LeVert, but...
It's going to be LeVert and yeah. Joe Harris.
Yeah, I suppose.
Come on, man.
Jared Allen.
Yeah, yes. Anyways, this week we are not joined by Rajan. Thinking of you, buddy. We'll have you back next week. But we couldn't let this week pass. We were thinking about just letting it go, but... Yo, a lot's... I mean, I guess a lot has happened. We've already alluded to it. The Nets have, like, what... 5 actual players on their roster now. The Wizards lost Beal. I said the Nets a lot, like, don't have anyone because Spencer Dinwiddie has confirmed that he's not going to Orlando. Torian Prince just tested positive and confirmed that he's not going. So add that to, obviously, Kyrie and KD still hurt. DeAndre Jordan already declared that he's not going. And the Nets are in a little bit of a crisis mode. I mean, they had to sign Tyler Johnson to a contract just to get some run here.
And apparently Amir Johnson might be joining him.
Why?
They have to replace DeAndre.
Do they?
Well, I mean, they don't have to, but they don't really have anybody else. I think the rookie that was behind him got injured, so he's not going to the restart either.
Oh, Claxton.
Yeah.
That dude's nice.
He's all right.
Claxton was good. Oh, yeah, my boy Wilson Chandler isn't going anymore, but he's more in line with holding off because of, you know, social issues rather than the COVID-related issues.
And he's the only one so far, right, that's been out because of social justice?
Well, Avery Bradley.
No, he's doing that for his family, though.
Yeah, but I don't know. He said initially it was for social justice issues.
I don't know, the real reasoning that he said afterwards is like his 2-year-old is immunocompromised or something like that.
Then yeah, it's just Wilson Chandler.
Also, I have the answer regarding the Wizards. It's Admiral Schofield and Gary Payton II, Jerome Robinson. Shabazz Napier's on that team.
Yo, Jerome Robinson is on that team?
Yeah,
wait,
apparently.
Who am I? I'm not thinking of Jerome Robinson. I'm thinking of Glenn Robinson, sorry.
No, not him. He's on Philadelphia.
He's on Philly, right?
We forgot about Rui, too. Rui's going to average a lot of points in the restart for sure.
Yeah, Raj's favorite player, Rui Hachimura. Rui's going to average a whopping 12 points per game now instead of like 8.
Oh, man. He's going to have all you can eat, though.
Yo, have you seen the pictures of their meals for the first night? We're recording on Wednesday, so the guys, I think 2 or 3 teams arrived on Tuesday, right? And Troy Daniels from the Nuggets put up a picture of what their meal
was. Wait, Troy Daniels plays the Nuggets now?
Yeah.
Oh, man.
They got him at the deadline.
I thought they cut him.
No, they kept him.
Yeah. Shouts to Troy Daniels.
Yeah, man, you can always use a shooter like that.
Yeah, why not?
Yeah. Anyways, Yeah, you guys gotta go look this up if you haven't already. It's legit like airplane food. It looks so sad. And missing from his photo was like the main on like the main course or entree or whatever. And it was supposed to be either like a pasta dish or like a chicken.
He posted that afterwards. It was a piece of chicken that looked like it was like a day old from Nando's or something.
Dude, it looked like it had no seasoning on it.
Yeah. He got the mild instead of the hot.
Man. That's a shame. Imagine these guys, like, imagine eating that for 3 months straight.
And then I saw afterwards that Mark Stein reported that after the 48-hour quarantine, their meals change over. And then Mitchell responded to him. Donovan Mitchell responded saying, "Oh yeah?" Like he was
The
being
hell?
sarcastic. So, I mean, hopefully they get better food than that. That was pretty crazy.
They get shit food for the first 48 hours.
I guess. I don't, just to punish them, I don't know.
It's like to really test how much you really want to be here.
Yeah.
You get the worst food possible. Come on, man.
How much do you want these millions? Here's prison food.
Oh, that's brutal. I don't know. It's pretty salty. I'd be pretty salty. Not as salty as like WNBA players with like the shitty Motel 6 that they're dealing
Rat traps in the laundry room.
Yeah, dude, that's nasty. Like that is just gross.
I mean, the WNBA is going to test people's resolve and how much they really want sports back. I really do wonder how their ratings are going to be once they come back. The ratings were probably trash before, so are that many more people going to watch now that there really aren't any sports besides, I guess, the NBA at that time?
Do you know when they come back?
No.
Oh. I would assume it around the same time, right?
I
Judging from the sounds of
guess.
it. Because if people are already reporting, that means you're looking at like another month, most likely.
Sounds right.
Yeah. I mean, it got pretty bad for me. I was watching the basketball tournament the other day.
Was that any good?
No. There was one guy who just like caught fire though. You know those like short, shifty point guards?
Yeah.
Yeah, dude just caught fire, hit the game win. They have the Elam ending at the end now.
Nice.
So they play 9 minute quarters, and then the fourth quarter, the last 4 minutes. Yeah, so you play until you get to the last 4 minutes of the game, and that's when they institute the Elam ending based off of that score. And then I think they add probably 12 points to the leader, I guess.
They should have
And then
done
you.
that for the NBA restart too.
Maybe they will.
Yeah, I think it was a little bit late for that.
Yeah, I guess so.
And they should have gone into a contract with these like lower seeded teams and said, if you don't bring your star players to the restart, your organization's not going to be a part of the restart. I don't understand why they didn't do that, or at least like make it so it's like top 16 for the playoffs instead of just East and West still. When these two teams now are just gonna be fodder for, the Bucks in the first round. Nobody's gonna watch.
More money, man. Those 8 games alone would bring in enough local TV rev for the teams, right?
Yeah, I suppose, but I mean that was a position where they could have like strong armed them and been like, all right, you're not bringing Bradley Beal, too bad. You're not
No,
coming.
but he's hurt. He's got a
Yeah.
shoulder injury, they say.
I got a shoulder injury right now too. I didn't sit out this podcast.
Look at you, what a hero.
I can be your hero, baby.
Come on, man.
I don't blame them for sitting out. It's just, I don't know, man. Like, the fact that they're bringing two G League teams to the restart doesn't make a lot of sense either.
Hold on. Can you name the starting five for the Brooklyn Nets as it stands right now?
Chris Chiosa, Joe Harris. Who's their three now? They've lost Chandler and Torian Prince.
Oh, you're missing a major player. Like, probably their best player right now.
Oh, yeah, Caris LeVert, sorry.
How's Chris Chiosa ahead of Caris LeVert?
I mean, who else are you gonna play, right? I think at this point you might as well just experiment and go with like a three-guard lineup, and then you have I guess Jared Allen's gonna be the center, obviously, and the four. I don't even remember.
Oh man,
Kurucs, maybe.
there you go.
Sure.
Does that say your boy Kurucs or Garrett Temple?
Yeah, go with four guards. Why not? Mix it up. Go with five
Four
guards.
guards.
Who's off the bench? Who's behind Chiosa?
Your boy TLC.
Yeah. He sort of had a comeback this year, though. He's actually played pretty good defense from what I've seen in the
Yeah,
games.
TLC, he's tall.
Yeah.
He's lanky. I mean, he's like 6'7", 6'8".
He's basically
Is that
Terrence Ferguson now, where he's like a 6'7 player that plays pretty good defense, but just doesn't really do anything on offense.
Yeah, but that's all you need him for on defense.
He's the D without a three.
You can have him battling against Joel Embiid and Daniel Tice in the paint.
I really hope that, I know that they have Jock Vaughn now, and he's not really known for being a good coach, because he was terrible in his previous stint. But I really hope that he experiments and takes his time to, like, show that he has imagination, and he can do a few things with this, in, you know, this broken down roster. Mix it up a little bit. Try some new stuff, you know?
No, sir. I mean, now might be the time to pull in those random guys that you're talking about. Bring in Jamal Crawford, Isaiah Thomas as your subs. Maybe find a big somewhere that you can just slot in there. Amir Johnson, apparently, from your reporting.
Yeah, I mean, if we don't have a Johnson and Johnson reunion on this team, I know before it was Tyler Johnson and James Johnson, but it's going to be Amir and Tyler now off the bench. So I just envision Jacques Vaughn just giving the ball to Caris LeVert and being like, all right, you're James Harden now. You have a, you know, you have a possession rate of like 100% now. Just go ahead. Do your thing. Average 40 points.
Imagine he has like a 40% usage rate in 8 games.
He's going to have more than that.
What if he just sits?
I mean, he could, but apparently he's there. So unless he's going to be, you know, I mean, JJ Redick talked about his podcast and saying that there's going to be a few players that eventually decide that they're just going to go home because, you know, the team's had no chance to make the playoffs after a couple games, or they just don't like their surroundings and being away from their families. So I think, you know, the highest or the most likely candidates for that are, you know, players from like Brooklyn and Washington and Phoenix, I guess.
You think Gary Payton II is just going to leave?
Maybe.
Show some respect.
Depends what his father tells him. His father won't let him leave, I don't think.
Nah, he probably just tell him to D up some more.
Yeah. And actually, like, watching Gary Payton, I know this is, like, pure nerd talk and everything.
This is so deep.
In the games that he has played a lot, where he's played, like, 25-plus minutes, he averages, like, 4 steals a game. It's fucking crazy. Like, I picked him up in fantasy for one day, I think, and he had, like, 5 steals.
You picked him up.
Yo, he's crazy on defense. It's too bad he can't do anything on offense.
It looks like he has really short arms. Or maybe because he's just shorter in general, did I think that.
He's quick, though. He's got his dad's jeans.
He's like 6 feet tall, right? Dude's tiny.
Yeah, I think so.
Damn, man. Who's going to be more entertaining to watch between Brooklyn and Washington?
I mean, Brooklyn has Jacques Vaughn as a coach. And Washington actually had a decent style of play. Like, they were actually watchable this year. I know, you know, they're averaging a ton of points and playing no defense, which is what you want to see as a fan if you're not going to be winning. But now without Beal, it's going to be a slog, so I don't know. Who's the most exciting player from both teams? I guess you got Caris LeVert, and then for Washington, you have...
Admiral Schofield. Ooh, Isaac Bonga.
Yeah, Bonga's actually Isaac been Bonga. Starting, too. He's like a 6'9" shooting guard that can't shoot. These teams have a lot of projects.
You know it's going to be Mo Wagner.
You know, Washington should, you know, sucks. We're talking about Brooklyn having like 5 guards on at a time. Washington should have like 5 bigs on at a time. But like Jan Bohemi, Thomas Bryant, Mo Wagner, and Bonga, I guess, and whoever else they have on that roster.
Washington should try this new idea of playing 5 rotation players at the same time.
Yeah, I know that's going to happen. Man, they signed Jerry and Grant. I mean, that's like a telltale sign you're like trying to tank during the restart.
Yeah, I mean, well, like, what happens if they're tanking? Does that help with their lottery odds?
I don't know. I don't really want to go into that kind of stuff. It's so confusing, you know?
Yeah, I guess. I mean, how long does it take for Devin Booker to complain that he's getting double teamed for no reason?
Very long.
After like half a game or like the first scrimmage, he's going to start complaining about being double teamed.
I actually like the Suns, though. They're an interesting team, but not this year, obviously. I don't think they have a chance.
Yeah, not for this.
Playoffs, but they'll be watchable at least. Like, it's not like Brooklyn and Washington where they have no talent on those teams. At least you got Booker and Ayton, Rubio, and they got a few like interesting players off the bench, so. At least they'll be watchable against, you know, the better teams. They'll be competitive.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Phoenix could probably make the playoffs or fight for a playoff spot in the East right now.
That's how it should be. Should have been the best 16 teams, but, you know, they messed that one up.
But instead, we'll have Chris Chioza against Eric Bledsoe in the first round. Hooray. Chris Middleton, maybe? I don't know. I don't even know what position Chris Joza plays.
I actually hope somehow Brooklyn leaps Orlando and Jonathan Isaac comes back. And then we at least get to see, like, Isaac versus, you know, Giannis in the first round. Because Isaac has given him, like, a little bit of problems. Because Isaac's a really good defensive player, one of the best in the NBA. So if he actually comes back, which, you know, reported right now, it's not going to happen. But
no.
If he does come back, at least it would, you know, provide something to watch in that series.
Are you only saying that so that Toronto doesn't have to play against Orlando in the first round again?
There's that.
Are you just
well.
Scared? Are you scared of another Kyle Lowry's over performance?
I would just be as scared if Isaac came back, because that guy's a problem.
Yeah, man. Imagine Isaac against Pascal. Ooh, look at that length.
He's one of the only guys that's given Pascal problems. Pascal sort of figured him out as the series went along, and this year, too, he's had some good games against him, but
yeah.
Still, you don't want to have to deal with that guy. He's going to be crazy in the next couple of years.
Yeah. How do you feel about Gordon Hayward and Mike Conley apparently getting a pass for the birth of their babies?
Yeah, so I guess
like,
the idea is they get to come back, but they have to do a 4-day quarantine instead of like a full 7 or 14-day one.
I heard 7 days.
Mm.
But I don't know. Like, it's supposed to be 14. The NBA somehow came up with 10 as their like made-up date or a made-up number of days, I guess. But I think for babies, it's supposed to be, yeah, it's supposed to be a bit less than the regular. So it's not the same as if someone's family were coming in and then they had to quarantine for 10 days.
Interesting. Well, Mike Conley's not going to have that issue anyway. He'll be home by that time anyway.
You don't think he's going to make the playoffs?
No, I mean, he'll be in the playoffs, but the playoffs start in August, right? So the baby's coming in September. Chances are he's not going to make it past round one. I think the playoffs start like August 16th or 17th.
And then just a quick sweep?
Yeah, maybe 5 games, but even still, they're not going to make it out of August.
Yeah, that's fair. What about Gordon Hayward on his 4th baby, man? Going to fly all the way back to Boston just to go back to Orlando?
All the guy does is make babies and play video games, so he's living a lot of guys' dreams. And making a lot of money, obviously.
Yeah, I think the money is the most important part.
Yeah.
It's a nice life for these guys.
But yeah, I mean, Gordon Hayward missing that time frame could be a major issue, obviously, since Boston doesn't have the deepest bench. I mean, I think the one area that they lack, especially off the bench, is obviously the point guard position with, you know, Brad Wanamaker coming off the bench. They could have definitely upgraded that part. I think that's going to hurt them, you know, come playoff time. And also, if they play Philadelphia in the first round and that series goes 7 games, I don't think it would lead into September, but hypothetically, if, you know, she gave birth before the month of August ended, then he could end up missing, like, game 6 or 7. So that could be a problem.
What would you do in that situation? Say you were in, I guess it'd be the quarterfinals or the semis, but your baby is about to be born in a couple of days or in a day. And you're going into game 7.
I think you have to go see the birth of your baby. I think if you don't, you're going to be seen as a monster. I mean, NBA nerds will love you, obviously, but it's sort of like the reverse Vince Carter effect, where people would actually say that you should be leaving the situation instead of, you know, being with your teammates.
But can he even go to the birth of his baby because he's traveling there? If you're going somewhere, you would assume you got to like quarantine and stuff too, right? Or can people even go into the hospitals with their significant others who are giving birth anymore?
Honestly, I don't know. That's a good question. I thought about that too, and I don't know the answer to that. I would assume not, because, like, you know, I've been to the hospital the last month or two for different reasons, and, like, you can't go and see the person that's there. So I guess with a baby, I can't really see that they would allow you in, even though, you know, that's a very significant moment in your life. But they have strict protocols too, so I doubt it, but if he's leaving, that obviously means that he can. Maybe he just has, like, you know, special circumstances since he's an NBA player.
Yeah, maybe his wife is giving birth at home.
Yeah, yeah, maybe.
Bringing in the midwife.
Wouldn't surprise me. Special treatment.
Yeah, I guess so. Oh, man, that's a tough situation. You're right, it is like the reverse of Vince. Because if it was for anything but the birth of a baby, we would basically just roast the guy.
Pretty much. Unless it's like a life and death scenario or the birth of a baby, it's, you know, it's probably not going to happen.
Yeah, still weird though. So weird being able to have like in and out access to this kind of stuff. Because you would expect them to want to maintain as many people in there as possible, right? Rather than having them moving around.
True, but true. But yeah, I don't know with that. I mean, he's probably not going to have a problem anyway if they play Philadelphia in the first round. So maybe just be a new point. moot point. Yeah.
Yo, have you ever thought about starting your own podcast? When I was trying to get this podcast off the ground, I had a lot of questions. How do I record an episode? How do I get my show onto all the apps that people like to listen to? How do you make money? The answer was pretty simple for me. I started using Anchor. Anchor is a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing your podcast. And best of all, it's 100% free and super easy to use. And now, Anchor can match you with great sponsors who want to advertise in your podcast. So that means you can get paid immediately, like right away. In fact, that's what I'm doing right now by reading you this ad. Super simple. So if you always wanted to start a podcast, let's start now. Go to anchor.fm/start to join me and the diverse community of producers using Anchor. Again, that's anchor.fm/start. See you soon. Did you hear about Victor Oladipo? Smooth transition here. Apparently he's sitting, rehabbing his knee, but he's still, like, going to Orlando. Isn't that strange? Like, he's going to go, he's going to eat up a roster spot, but just straight up does not play. So they can't substitute him for, or find a sub for him. So they can't find, like, a G League player or whatever to take his spot. It's just straight up, he's just going as, like, a morale boost. Basically what Kyrie Irving wanted to do for the Nets originally.
Yeah, that part sort of confused me too, since he's up for extension, I think, next year. So maybe that's part of it.
Yeah. Yeah. He definitely just wants to be in better shape for next year, but it's just strange. I think maybe he just wants to go to have, like, team services or, like, the trainers and stuff around so he can continue to rehab.
Can he just get that in Indiana, though?
Yeah, you would assume so. I don't know, man.
It must be a team morale thing. He thinks that him being there will help them. And maybe he can just get practices in, too. I would assume he can practice, right?
Well, I guess it depends on him.
Yeah, I think that's the biggest thing probably for him. Just, like, trying to stay in game shape, get the practices in so he's ready for the start of next season.
Yeah, it's still strange. Imagine just being there on the bench while your guys are all playing. And he's like, I don't know, let's throw him in a practice uniform or, like, the warm-ups. And then suddenly, towards the end of the game, he just, like, whips him off and hops in with, like, 5 minutes left in a playoff game.
I wonder if he'd be allowed to actually play in the games now if he decided, you know what, I'm actually going to play. What if he starts practicing and he wants to play? Like, would the NBA say no at that point? He's already in the bubble.
Hell no. Of course he can play. It's Victor Oladipo.
Yeah, so maybe he does that. Maybe, like, you know, once the playoffs start, Vic will be back.
Yeah, I would let him. It's not like if Tyler Johnson said he wasn't going to play and then suddenly he wanted to lace him up. Like, nah, B. Tyler Johnson, you're not bringing any ratings for me. Get out of here.
And I think he's the only player doing this too, right? It's not, I don't think any other injured player is coming to the bubble. So
no, they're all staying home. Well, supposedly staying home.
Yeah.
The closest was Kyrie, right? When he said that he wanted to show. He straight up just said, I want to show up just to, you know, provide support for my guys. And then, like, a week later, he had the players-only meeting when he said that nobody should go.
Yeah. I mean, talking about Dwight Howard, which we'll do later on, I mean, it's the same type of scenario. At least he's playing, though, you know?
Hey, man, I respect, like, Dwight Howard and Patty Mills both announced that they're going to play, obviously, for Patty Mills. Dwight Howard, like you said, was teetering on the edge, in a sense. But both of them are completely donating their regular season money, which is pretty respectable. Patty Mills is donating over $1 million for Black Lives Matter organizations. So multiple, it's not just one. And then Dwight Howard is donating around $700,000 to Breathe Again, which is obviously another fundraiser.
Yeah.
That's pretty commendable, man.
For sure. But, you know, just based on what Dwight Howard said before and, you know, leading the charge on, you know, activism with the NBA and being one of the guys that's going to sit out for social justice, and how he totally did a, you know, 180, just like we expected him to. But at least I'm happy he's playing because, you know, it gives the Lakers a better chance of actually winning the championship. It gives, you know, more competitive balance in the West. Because without him and Avery Bradley, like, they're down to, like, a skeleton roster off the bench. You know, they have to play Dion Waiters and J.R. Smith a lot, which is not going to work out for them, so.
Well, they're still going to play Dion Waiters or J.R. They're going to play J.R. Smith more, let's be real.
Yeah, I mean, Dion has played more recently, though, so I guess it depends who's in better shape.
Did Dion even play? What do you mean he played more recently?
I think he played in a couple games in this past year. Maybe not, like, this specific regular season, but last year, I mean, J.R. Smith, when's the last time he played? About a year and a half ago? 2 years ago?
Yeah, like a year and a half.
So I think Dion has played more games more recently than he has, but again, Dion's had some like weight issues in the past, so who knows what he's going to come into camp with.
And to be honest, if you haven't played for the past year compared to a year and a half, what's the real difference? You know what I mean? Like, those 6 months aren't going to change anything in terms of running game speed. But if you're still training, like, you know, we've all heard the stories that J.R. Smith has been working his ass off this whole time, then at least there's a bit more optimism, right? Also, LeBron tends to, I think he trusts J.R. Smith a little bit more than Dion Waiters.
Does he?
We all remember how.
After what happened in game one,
Hey, J.R. Smith is a champion.
This is true.
Dion Waiters, not a champion.
I mean, LeBron got Dion shipped out too, right?
Exactly. Yeah. That's why I'm surprised he's even on the roster. Like, why would LeBron want this guy back around him?
There's a lot of, like, hot-headed guys in that team. I think LeBron just likes that combustibility.
Who else is there?
Rondo, McGee.
Oh, yeah, Rondo. I forgot about Rondo.
I'm surprised Lance Stephenson didn't sign with them the last few weeks.
LeBron probably nixed that pretty hard. I mean, imagine having Stevenson, J.R. Smith, and Dion Waiters all on the same team.
And there's no drug testing.
That's okay. J.R. Smith only needs a Henny test.
I feel like Dion Waiters is going to be the one that bursts the bubble now. I'm going to change my prediction because I think he's going to have some like weed gummies like you did in the plane. And he's just going to like run out of a hotel and get past security, go out into Florida, and then he's going to try to get back in. He's going to be the one that brings it back. He's going to trip out. He's going to trip balls big time.
This is definitely a take that you've repeated, but I like it.
Yeah, well, in case you didn't listen to the last pod.
There's no changing of a prediction here. This is just
the emphasis. I thought that was the original idea. I must have forgot I said that. Whoops.
Yeah, man. I said that he was going to go out with a knife and try to pop like this fake bubble that they have while he's tripping out.
Yeah, it's either going to be him or it's going to be the Lopez twins trying to get into Disney World. So
that'd be wild. Imagine like a player just tries to go on rides.
Well, I mean, they usually do that in the summertime, so it wouldn't be anything different for them.
Yeah, I guess, but this is going to general public.
And they're imagine, the reason why Giannis leaves.
Imagine as soon as you lose, so say the Wizards are eliminated, like the day that they lose eligibility for the playoffs, the players just go straight to Disney World. It's like Magic Kingdom to ride.
Yeah, that's not the way it's supposed to work. You're supposed to win the championship and say you're going to Disney World, and you'd be like, oh, wait, I'm already here.
It's a small world after all.
No! No! Anything but that.
Yeah, they're just like, oh, it's like around the corner.
Gonna walk next door.
I'm going to take that bus over to Animal Kingdom and ride the Pandora ride.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? I heard there's a new Star Wars ride. Let's go.
Oh, yeah, Harry Potter. Absolutely.
It's Universal, man.
No, is it? Whoops. Yeah. Just as much I know about Disney Universal.
What? I thought you knew all about it, man.
Hell no. I don't follow that stuff. I just get forced to go to Disney World. Doesn't mean I enjoy it.
Yeah, you don't enjoy Disney World?
My wife's like, excuse me?
Yeah.
She actually just said that, too.
Excuse you, sir. Come on now. No, but you messed with the Pandora ride, right?
Yeah, it was okay.
Really? Yeah. It was pretty cool, man.
I mean,
I enjoyed it.
There was one, like, I know we're getting off topic here, but there was one, like, where you're in, like, a spaceship or, like, a simulation of a spaceship.
Yeah.
And the thing just rattles. And it really messed me up. I couldn't walk for, like, 20 minutes.
That's it. That one was sick.
No, it wasn't. Like, rattled my brain, man. I felt like a football player after getting hit.
You're talking about that one where you're on, like a motorcycle kind of seat, right?
No, you're inside of a spaceship.
Oh, I'm thinking of something different. The one I'm thinking of is like you're on like this motorcycle kind of deal, and then you have to lean your body forward, I guess, like a speed racer. And then there's a giant screen in front of you, and it's as if you're flying on one of like the dragon things through Pandora.
Oh, I guess I haven't done that one, though.
Yeah, that one's sick. Granted, I had to line up for like an hour and a half for it, and it was maybe a, you know, 5-10 minute ride kind of deal.
No, you didn't have the super fast pass, whatever it's called.
Nah.
Mm.
No, we did not plan that far ahead.
Damn.
Or that well.
Now you know for next time in 5 to 10 years from now.
Yo, I'm not going back to Florida.
That's why I said 5 to 10 years from now.
That is like the last place I want to go to. I mean, I think I'd rather go to California than Florida right now. I mean, they're both shit, but
I mean, Florida has like 25% of the cases in the States, I think, right now. So it's not great.
Really?
Yeah, that's what I read recently.
Oh, man.
The cases keep going up too, until like 12,000 a day, 2 days ago, I think.
Ooh. And they're going to send all the NBA players there? 22 full teams?
No, they're inside the bubble here. No need to worry.
Oh, man. Apparently this bubble is going to be infiltrated.
By hookers.
Would you be surprised? Yeah, man. I mean, imagine that. Imagine you can't bring anyone in for the first month. How crazy are these guys going to go?
Yeah. I mean, that's one thing that I always really talked about besides me on the last, I think it was two podcasts ago, and then Stephen A. brought it up on the ESPN recently. And the hostess looked very uncomfortable when he brought that up.
Yeah, well, imagine all the extracurriculars these guys are going to try to get.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I feel like Kuzma might be the other one that ends up bursting the bubble. And then LeBron's going to get traded for real this time. He's going to get traded if that happens, for sure.
Kuzma.
Oh, yeah.
That's a hot take.
Isn't he dating Kardashian now?
I don't know, dude. I'm the wrong person to be asking.
Mm, he probably is.
Maybe.
He seems like the type.
You don't think it would be someone like, I don't know, DJ Augustine or Aaron Gordon?
Yeah, I could see Aaron Gordon. Yeah,
I could definitely see Aaron Gordon.
Guy who's like not quite a star, but trying to get his rep up and, you know, trying to build his brand.
Yeah, and it's his hometown.
Yeah, I can see it.
He must know all the good ones.
Mo Bamba.
Nah, I'm not talking shit about Mo Bamba. Come on, man. There's a line here, okay?
I'm still a believer in Mo cross Bamba. Certain
lines. Yeah, exactly. I don't want to talk shit about the guy if I still like him.
I was sort of hoping that Nick Vucevic would sit out the restart so Mo Bamba would actually get a chance to play.
Yeah, Vucevic ain't sitting. Come on, man. He's already there. Or it's funny that the Orlando players are like the first ones that arrived, too.
Did Toronto arrive first, or they went to a different location?
Toronto was in a different location in Florida.
Mm.
So because they had to go... Well, they had to quarantine when they got there because they're traveling internationally. So they just set up camp somewhere, I think, like, a few hours away. Got access to a gym and made it their, like, own pseudo campus, I guess. And yeah, and then out of that group, I guess, like, they just move over to Disney World afterwards.
Yeah, I saw the interviews with Nick Nurse saying that, you know, the players were in great shape, better than expected. And, you know, they're building a lot of camaraderie right now. So it's going to be 3 months in the bubble for the Raptors. It's going to be great.
Yeah, well, I guess they got started before everyone else did, right? Good for them, man. Is it strange to you how many players are coming back in, like, better shape than they left? Like, Zion looks like he cut weight. JJ Redick said he lost, like, 10 pounds. LeBron and, literally all the Lakers look as if they're still in game shape kind of thing. Like, it's kind of strange how much that, you know, despite this quote-unquote quarantine that we were all supposed to be in, these guys managed to find their ways into gyms and to get all of this equipment. A little suspect behavior, if you ask me.
I think if you made it that far, though, to make it to the NBA, you have a certain work ethic, and with nothing going on as well, like, would you rather be on the couch on Netflix for 15 hours a day, or would you rather actually be doing something? And I think these guys are just, like, hardwired to continue to work out. Well, most of them, anyway. We'll see who isn't.
Yeah, but working out is kind of different than, like, legitimately playing. Like, Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid, I'm pretty sure, were legit playing in the 76ers training facility this whole time.
True. But I guess it depends what kind of games you're playing as well, if you even get, like, a, you know, good run-in or not. If you're just playing, like, one-on-one, or you're just shooting around, or if you're actually playing a real 5-on-5 game.
Yeah. Who do you think would win in a game of bump? Joel Embiid or Ben Simmons?
That's a good question.
Right?
Yeah, Ben Simmons, because he's faster. Faster to the ball. And plus, like, if he's taking, like, three-point shots, if you're starting from that level, you're taking three-point shots, his shots are going to, like, brick, for sure. You're going to bounce straight up, he's going cat, he can basically alley-oop it to himself.
He's just going to go off the backboard.
Yeah, he probably could. Whereas their beat shots play. Go all over the place when he shoots threes, so.
That's true. That's a good point. I never thought of it like that. I was going to say Embiid, because I would just assume he hits his first shot.
I mean, generally in bump, it goes, like, the players who normally win are the best shooters, and if not, it's the, you know, the people that are the quickest to the ball.
Yeah. Or who do you think would try to bump the other player's ball further? That's the chemistry issues that you really have to think about with these 76ers.
Yes.
You know? Maybe Tobias Harris is there, just launching Ben Simmons' ball into the crowd. Then what do?
He wants those touches.
Yeah, man. This is the only way he can actually grab, like, offensive boards or do anything offensively.
You know, the only thing that worries me about the 76ers is Embiid recently saying that when they come back, the team knows what kind of offense they're going to run, referencing that they're going to run everything through him. That sort of worries me a little bit. I mean, like, he's obviously a really good offensive player, but to say that in a team full of, like, really good offensive players, that's not, yeah, I don't know. It's not the right messaging, I don't think.
Embiid is legit just declaring this my time.
Basically.
Doing classic Embiid shit.
I mean, if you're on Brooklyn, then sure, but, like, if you're a team that has, like, you know, four other pretty good options, I don't know if you'd say that kind of thing.
Everyone's got to know who's boss, man.
Yeah, I guess that's one way of being a leader, so we'll see if he's actually able to back it up.
Well, I guess so. Your prediction might not be so solid after all.
I'm still sticking with the 76ers, I think.
Yeah, well, I'm going to stick with Giannis for now, too. It's okay. All right, that's all the time we have for this week. Please remember to rate and subscribe to us on iTunes. We're on Google Play, Stitcher, Spotify, all the major podcast platforms. You can find us on Instagram and Twitter at Stretch4Pod. Until next time, peace.